Last week, we honored the life and times of a well-known, very well-respected senator, Senator John McCain.
John McCain from
he
Arizona.
Passed away, right, he passed away from complications associated with brain cancer last week.
Right. An icon, yes. I think, is the word that people were using. I remember several years ago when Ted Kennedy passed. He was described the lion of the Senate, accolades poured in. John McCain, of course.
He would be the maverick of the Senate.
Of the Senate, right. And it's odd that he would be considered a maverick only because he cooperated.
Yes.
he had a mind of his own because he cooperated with both Republicans and Democrats with whom he sometimes disagreed. His status as a national hero, I think, was forged while he was a prisoner of war in Vietnam. Curiously, my children didn't know this, that he was offered the opportunity to be sent back to the United States because his father was an admiral in the Navy. Mm-hmm. And there was going to be some sort of, because of his importance and the importance of his father, he was offered the opportunity to leave. He refused.
Right.
Which
within less than a year of his captivity, this offer was sort of placed out on the table for him, and he refused.
And he spent 5.5 years in a prison camp, and was tortured.
Right.
Had his arms broken and some other things, so that began this this life. Mm-hmm. Of character,
right.
And that's what the woman who wrote this article, psychologist wrote this article, talks about his character
right.
development.
Yeah, it's the article is entitled Five Lessons from the Life of Senator John McCain, and right. and it is we wrote about it a little bit in this past week's newspaper column in the Ledger that we write each week, and just the idea of post-traumatic resilience.
Right.
His ability, his wonderful ability, impressive ability to have gone through and endured what he did for those 5.5 years,
right.
and to come back and be able to smile and be able to, continue his life in a very productive
way.
Meaningful way
to overcome the effects of trauma. There's a great discussion in our country now about the effects of trauma, about the ACEs study and the effects of trauma on later development. But here's a man who endured tremendous trauma for 5.5 years, and somehow came back, and as you say, had a productive, fulfilling life, and won the respect of almost everybody in the country. There are a few outliers who chose not to recognize his character. But that's what we liked about this article, that many of the tributes to McCain were about, they were political, they were about how his leadership and those sorts of things. This article was attractive to us because it talks about John McCain from a psychological perspective,
right.
And so that was the appeal to this. It's not a political issue. It's more about his character development, and especially his resilience and the way he lived his life after the trauma.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about the five lessons. The first lesson that the author mentions is the lesson that everyone makes mistakes, but successful people learn from them.
Exactly.
And I think that there have been some really nice, impressive quotes that can be pulled from some of his speeches, where he demonstrates just that. Where he even says, "I was wrong," and "I have participated in this type of behavior that I'm now chastising," and "I was wrong in doing that, and so is everyone else that's doing it."
Right. There was a famous incident when he was on the campaign trail. I think in the 2000 campaign. For the Republican nomination, where he was asked about the Confederate flag flying over the South Carolina courthouse, and he hedged a little on that, and didn't answer the question, and later apologized, said, "I was wrong, I took the safe route, and And I was wrong. That was a mistake. I should have stood by my principles and didn't. And he acknowledged that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And probably didn't repeat that mistake many times thereafter.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. The second lesson is that democracy thrives on collaboration and flexible thinking.
Right.
And again, you kind of go into the point that you made just a moment ago. You know, and it says democracy thrives on collaboration, but we all thrive on collaboration and flexible thinking. You know, he was one to go across the aisle.
He did. One of the few who would go across the aisle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are, you know, I remember a very important, and again, this isn't meant to be political, it's just meant to demonstrate how he was that flexible and didn't remain rigid to the party lines, if you want to refer to it that way. But I remember when he was running for president and he was doing a town hall meeting and a woman stood up and said, you know, started talking really poorly about President Obama and raising a lot of sort of concerns about Obama that were really popular in the tabloids, at least. Yeah. And Senator McCain said, you know, no, you know, Barack Obama is a wonderful man. He's he's a good family man. He's a nice man. I just don't agree with some of his policies, but he's a good man.
And yeah, she was accusing him of being a Muslim and an Arab, and you know, all these things that were in the press at the time. Mm-hmm. And McCain said, no, he's a full fledged American and belongs here. And he stood up for his opponent.
Right.
He was his opponent at the time, and he defended his opponent in public.
Right. Well, and not that being a Muslim means that you can't be American, but the idea was that he was, you know, from another country, and that he was, you know.
It was when his birth certificate was was a controversy at the time.
Yeah, it was interesting. But again, he stood up and he said, you know, no, he's a good man. We just don't agree on policy, because he made it about the policy, not about, you know.
Not about the person.
Right. The third lesson is believing in youth can change the world.
Yeah.
And, yeah, go ahead.
No.
Again, one of the things that is, you know, we say some of these things, but we don't always live by these things. Right. You know, who was it, Whitney Houston, back in the 80s, I think, sang the song, you know, the children are our future.
Right.
And Senator McCain and many others. Mm-hmm. They sort of live by that idea, by that principle, that we have to think about what we're doing to kids and the next generation of individuals, because they are the ones who are going to set the next series of policies.
And we sometimes are impatient with youth.
Right.
By youth, I mean older teenagers, young adults. Our children are at that age in their lives where they're beginning to express political judgments, political opinions. And frequently, we don't agree with them, and we're sitting there thinking, yes, I remember when I was 24, 22, and I had the same ideas, but they change over time. But McCain said, don't lecture your kids. Right. They have to have the opportunity to work through their thinking on these important issues, especially their political philosophy and political beliefs. And we have to allow them that opportunity.
Right.
Also, It's in keeping with the notion that you listen to other people, and you don't stop listening because they're a certain age.
Right.
They are bringing new ideas and fresh ideas. You might not agree with them, but you need to hear them.
Right.
And I think it's consistent with his philosophy throughout his life.
Right. And one of the quotes here in the article is that it said that he believed that we should allow youth to. He believed in people's ability to do the right thing.
Eventually,
whatever they believe the right thing is for them.
Right.
And it may not be the right thing for you,
but it may
be the right thing for them.
But he put it back on them.
Right.
He had a group of interns, and they were some of his interns were making tributes as well. And that was one of the recurring themes, is that he allowed us to work through our problems and for us to make the decision.
Right.
He didn't tell us what to decide.
Right.
He allowed us to make the decision, and we knew that we had his confidence that we would make the right decision eventually.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's a good lesson.
The fourth thing, lesson four, is academic achievement does not equal life success. And now it's sort of from this one that another podcast we're going to do this week.
More on this later.
We're going to talk about it. Right. Academic achievement does not equal life success. There is much more to life than how you perform in school.
Or how you did on a test.
Right. You know, there's so much more that we need to learn and that we have to understand and be able to think about and consider. You know, critical thinking skills, for example, is a really important cognitive task to be able to undergo, but we don't teach that.
Right.
You know, that's not in any lessons.
One of the things I love about John McCain is his ability to be self-deprecating.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I was fifth from the bottom of my class at the Naval Academy. Not something most people would broadcast for the nation. But he said, I was not that good a student.
But
he's an example of somebody who maybe he wasn't that good at test taking or performing on exams. But he had all of these other qualities.
Right.
Later on in the week, as you say, we're going to be talking about this issue later. And one of the things that happens to be a physician makes is people don't lose their jobs because of their test performance. They lose their jobs because of interpersonal problems or their attitude or their behavior.
Right.
And these are the very things that McCain developed throughout his life, with these character issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and which of course brings up another, and this is a completely separate point that we're not going to talk about this week, but there was a report that just came out within the last couple of days talking about here in Florida with all the teachers.
Oh, the teacher exams.
The teacher exams.
Yeah, there are over 1,000 teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a teacher shortage in Florida right now. I think there are 100 and some teachers just in this county that we're short. At the same time that we're giving them this exam, and I took that exam when I moved back to I had to take it when I moved back to Florida
I took it after graduate school.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy test.
No.
And it's like taking the SAT or there's algebra and all this other stuff. There's nothing to do with teaching.
Well, and what I'll say is, because I think that many people are... We're completely off task right now, but it's okay.
Actually, we could do that as a podcast.
Well,
but
we'll do it another time.
When he gets something, he has a hard time letting go.
But the issue is not, the point that people try to make is we need to have teachers who can pass this test that are going to be high performing teachers in the classroom. And I don't think anyone would disagree with that. The problem is that a lot of these teachers that are failing the test have been in the classroom, have proven track records, have been deemed highly successful teachers in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
They perform very well, but then they take this test, and as you said, you know, the test has things on it that they don't use
to do
in
with
their
teaching.
Classroom.
Has nothing to do with teaching.
And so they fail the test and they're not allowed to teach anymore, despite a very well-proven track record.
If the test tested their teaching ability, we would be okay.
Right.
I still wouldn't be okay because it's a single measure.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny in our field. We say you never use a single measure make a decision.
Right.
We say it over and over and over and over again. We say it with school children, college students, medical students.
Mm-hmm.
You never use one score.
Right.
I mean, think of all the college acceptance committees, you know, the data that they pore over,
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to just use an SAT score or grades or and here we are with a teacher shortage saying, well, if you don't pass this single measure, you are out of a job.
It doesn't matter how well you've done for the past 5 years in the classroom.
The last time you took algebra was 25 years ago.
Right.
You know, you can't calculate a tip in a rest. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with your teaching.
Right.
Okay. But that's the point that McCain was making, is that there's more to this. And we have such a hang-up these days about our children's academic performance, you know, where parents come in and say, well, he has to get A's and B's. Why?
He has to have over a 4.0 GPA.
Because he has to go to the university. We said about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the path to success is very wide.
Right.
Don't narrow it for your children by saying they have to get all A's or they have to get over 4.0. There are many ways to succeed.
Right, absolutely.
And that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
No, don't don't rely too heavily on academic success.
Right, exactly. And the final lesson, lesson five, is that relationships are the thriving are the heart of a thriving right. nation. Relationships are the heart of a thriving of a healthy
family,
life.
Family.
Yeah.
School.
Right. You can
classroom.
Replace a nation with anything else.
Exactly. That's what when I first saw this, I said relationships are the heart of any organization.
Right.
Everything from a country, a continent, down to your family.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to have good relationships.
And again, Senator McCain really
mm-hmm.
emanated that in all of his relationships. And, right. you know, he had very strong relationships with people on mm-hmm. on both sides mm-hmm. of the political spectrum. And, you know, it's again, an example that hopefully more people will choose mm-hmm. to follow.
Yeah, like relying over relying on a single test score, we talk about cooperation
right.
among our politicians. Our system of government has typically been a two-party system,
mm-hmm.
and the parties have always compromised.
Mm-hmm.
Until recently, the parties have always compromised. They had different opinions, different viewpoints,
right.
but they found some common ground, and that's what has made our system work. Is compromise.
Right.
We've lost that. Everybody mm-hmm. says we've lost it, but again, nobody's doing anything about
mm-hmm.
it. We still have 1,000 teachers who can't work
right.
during a teacher shortage, and we have gridlock in Washington, and nobody's doing anything
right.
about it. They talk about it. All the senators talk about gridlock.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does anything
right.
about it.
Exactly.
Men like McCain and Kennedy and others, I'd like to think, could have done something about
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have to foster those healthy relationships,
right.
and those because those relationships are going to be what really helps us accomplish
mm-hmm.
what we're trying to accomplish.
That's right.
So.
It's the compromise. You know,
yeah.
even with your you argue with your children, but we talk frequently on these podcasts about collaborative problem solving,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and there again, that's about respecting the views that other people have, whether
right.
they're your children or your spouse or another senator.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So. All right. Well, that is it. But, you know, check out this article. They go into a little bit more detail about some things, but it's an easy read. But it's just, it's wise to look back and reflect
mm-hmm.
On some of the things we can learn from Senator McCain's
right.
life and some of the things that he accomplished during his
right.
during his life. So.
Right. Yeah, these are times when you pause and get some
yeah.
perspective. And this is worth thinking about the life that he lived and the example that he set when
right.
it comes to character.
Right, absolutely. So, all right, that is it for today. We have some new intro
mm-hmm.
music and some new graphics and stuff for those of you who are watching on YouTube. We'd love to hear what you think of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you have any suggestions or thoughts or
right.
ideas, we'd love to hear from you about those things. So share with us. All right.
Love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. All right. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.